Greetings, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio, also simulcasting on eSETI Stargate. And this place is going crazy here, the channel, because we've got, I think, up to 90 affiliates right now, and it's in about 40-something countries, 50 countries right now. So I'm going to get the real stats here real soon, but it's really going off. So there's an extreme interest in this information. And I can't think what better guess. We're at the top of the ladder, top of the food chain, whatever you want to call it, with our guest today, because we have the most cutting edge information coming out about what's happening in the multiverse. And we've got Elena Danon and Dr. Michael Sala. And I'm not going to get into your bios because there's so much. I mean, your bios are really extensive, and I really want to get into the meat of the subject, and beginning with Elena, there's been some huge kind of breakthroughs or things happening in the universe. And I watched your interview earlier with Dr. Sala, and I highly recommend going and checking that out. About the Jupiter meeting and the latest things that are happening as far as the World Federation. I mean, what are they called? The Planetary, Galactic Federation?
Yes.
Our
Galactic Federation.
Worlds.
Worlds.
Yeah, but I'll let you go ahead and tell that story real quick about the meeting and what happened in that meeting and where things are, how that's going to affect us now. And then we'll have Michael chime in on his research as well.
Thank you, James. So, the intel I have had since the 14th of July, it has been on several days. It is based on telepathic communication relayed by an implant I have, so it's like a radio, with Thorhan Eredion, who is a fleet commander in the Galactic Federation of Worlds. This man saved my life when I was 9 years old and kept contact with me. So sometimes we connect, and he showed me events that were taking place on Jupiter. He was on a ship escorting representatives to Jupiter, representatives from the Galactic Federation himself. So he was staying in orbit of Jupiter. And he said to me, look, you know where I am now? There are big stuff happening. There's a series of agreements that are series of meetings that mm-hmm. are going on, and these meetings are between different Earth representatives, 14 countries represented in the set of 12 meetings. First, so there was first 12 independent meetings, and these 14 countries representatives were dispatched in these 12 meetings. They were meeting representatives of the Galactic Federation of Worlds, the Andromedan Council, and the Council of Five. And in each group, the Earth representatives were composed of officials from Space Force by country and CEOs of corporations. But these CEOs of corporations, after what Thorhan said, were picked because they were progressive, named progressive, meaning they were willing to participate to a constructive and positive future. That's only thing I knew. And then, so he told me about this set of 12 different meetings. From this set of 12 different meetings were decided, voted six countries to form a group, an alliance, a unified alliance of space forces, of countries, six of them. Then, you know, these agreements were not really with the Federation. They were guiding people, of course, having small little agreements with these people, but that wasn't the main thing. The main thing was to guide humanity to organize themselves. For what? Mm-hmm. You know. later. Six countries, and then these six were supposed, because of their ability, capacity of taking care of the solar system, because also their spirit of service to others, not service to self, they were picked. Who was going to manage them, these six? Who was going to manage this unified space force? Four were voted out of the six, and of the four, one was voted, which was the USA. That's what I knew. Then, at that moment, on the 17th of July, it was over. Thorhan was still in orbit of Jupiter, waiting for people to take back officials. And we saw three oblong ships, because when I'm connected with him, I can see through his eyes. Wherever he looks, I see like a screen. So yeah. He showed me something. He said, oh, watch that. Look at that. There were these three oblong ships coming from Jupiter, out of Jupiter, from behind, and passing under his ship. And I could really see them well. And he said, oh, that's three Earth delegations that have left that are leaving after the penultimate meeting. These three weren't selected, of course, because USA was selected. So these three of the four left, and he said two of them are very unhappy. It's Russia and Chinese delegations, and they're very unhappy. He didn't tell me why, but I just record information and just wrote everything down, did quick sketches, drawing of the ships, and call Michael Sala and say, hey, Doc, hear what I got, and what are you making of it? And then Michael just blew my mind, so I'm going to let him speak.
Yeah, I wanted to go with the, I know that there's been a mass cleanup down here of the Reptilian and the Gray Alliance and the underground dumps, and we've moved into cleaned out the moon, and it's the Mars is in the process, and that a lot of that information dovetails with what Michael's been telling us. So I'll let Michael go ahead and talk about, you know, his information and how that all ties in together.
Yeah, that was amazing information that Lena relayed to me. I mean, she's been sharing information about Antarctica, the moon and Mars and Phobos. So, you know, all of those have, again, very interesting information. And, you know, and what I really like about working with Elena is that when she tells me things, you know, I look up what's happening in the context of that place, and sure enough, I'll find things that match what she's saying. So, you know, she's talking about the liberation of Mars, and I find, you know, all of these Mars quakes happening on Mars. She's talking about the liberation of Antarctica. And so there's a insider that both of us are in contact with from McMurdo Base who's confirming some of the things that Elena's saying. So when she talked about the Jupiter meetings, I started to dig around, and one of the first things that came to my attention was, you know, she referred to 14 nations participating. Well, that matches pretty closely with the number of nations that have signed onto the Artemis Accords. So those are the multinational space treaties that have been set up with the US as the hub for those. So the 12 countries that are a part of the Artemis Accords are all in a relationship now with the US as the hub. So they all acknowledge the US as the hub. So right away you have confirmation for what Elena was saying, that the space community, like those 14 nations that participated in the meetings, that the overwhelming majority wanted the US to be the hub, because that's the premise on which the Artemis Accords are based. She talked about the three ships leaving. She talked about China and Russia being very unhappy. And again, that matches with what we know, because after the Artemis Accords were signed in last year, soon after, Russia and China announced a joint lunar research station. and they were trying to get other nations to sign on. So no one signed on. None of the other nations were interested in signing on. And they were very interested, however, in the Artemis Accords. And so what that shows is that, you know, while Russia and China in their own right are major players and peer competitors with the US, the overwhelming support amongst the spacefaring nations on Earth is that the US is the country to lead us forward. So it's not a surprise then that the Galactic Federation chose the US as the lead nation. So the process that Elena outlined, I think, is a very good explanation for how the Galactic Federation decided to set up a system. And in a way, I mean, you know, some people are going to get upset by this, but in a way, the outcome is not all that different to the way the United Nations is set up at the moment. You know, United Nations, you have like your General Assembly, which is all the nations, and then you have your Security Council, which is 15 nations. So right now what we're having is something similar being set up in space, where you have like the spacefaring community. So all the nations in space that have space programs, and they're all going to be led by a small group. That was the group of six that Elena was talking about. And when you look at the nations in that group of six, five of those nations are the five permanent Security Council members. And the sixth nation is probably Japan, you know, because in order of seniority, like, you know, which countries have the oldest space programs? It's all the members of the Security Council, then Japan. And so yeah, Elena's sixth nation. So that's my speculation that Japan is the sixth, but definitely the five other nations are all the permanent members of the Security Council. So, you know, to me, again, it's not a surprise, because it makes sense that if you're handing over responsibility for the solar system to Earth, well, it would be probably the same group of leading nations that would be the ones that would be calling the shots as the countries that make up the permanent members of the Security Council that really call the shots on Earth. So, yeah, so it all makes sense. It all checks out, you know, and there's more, but I won't, you know, let you take us to the next set of questions.
Yeah. So Elena, we talked about this earlier, and I was trying to incorporate into a lot of my own experiences with all these higher dimensional beings. And so Thorhan, you were telling before, they have a belt that they use, and they use this belt to drop down. He's a fifth dimensional being, and they have this technology where they can drop down into the third dimension to interact with us. And then they have, I know their ships can do that as well. They have the ability to drop their ships into this dimension. Is there any more information that you want to share about that, on how they can interact with us and help us help out humanity?
Yes, that was a very good question, James, because people can be a little bit confused. Where Thorhan is a fifth density, is a density where the atoms of his body vibrate faster. Mm-hmm. But these people have a technology to adapt to whatever density they want to be active in. So what is happening at the moment, it's all in third density. It's all in our density. So they have technology to be able to be physical there in this density. It's either the ships, or either it can be whole facility, or it can be suits they wear, but more especially it's belts. I've seen this belt. I've been put one on once. More than once, actually. So it will modify your density, and it's modifying the whole body. It's a belt, but it creates like a kind of halo, whatever, around you. Takes your whole body. I don't know how it works. That's what I can tell, that it can remove some confusion for some people, maybe.
Yeah, I've seen some of that technology here on Earth, and actually held something that almost put me in the fifth dimension. I had to stop because I wouldn't come back, and other healing technologies as well. But what's interesting is that the densities, these beings, what I'm curious, on Jupiter, were they taking these people on these ships into the fifth density and having the meeting in the fifth density, or was that all third density as well?
I don't know. I suppose it was all third density. I suppose. Yeah. I do not know. I don't know.
I know if they took them into the fifth density, when they brought them back, they wouldn't be the same, which would be a good thing, you know, which would be, they'd have basically a near-death experience and then have to figure it out from there. And
I think what would seem more logical to me is that all the ETs downgrade to our density for a practical reason, you know. So they're all in our density. That's what I would, my logic, you know.
I know. And the suits, we were talking earlier about the suits that they give you when you go on board the craft. I'd like for you to talk a little bit more about those. We're sharing our shared experiences.
There are two different suits I'm wearing, and the two are totally different and very interesting. So, they have two ways to beam me up, either physically, totally physically, or either just my body inside, light body. And it's the same process. But when my physical body stays here and they beam my inside is redensified into their density. So it's in their density, then suddenly the atoms, the particles of my light body are just redensified in their frequency. And I don't need any frequency bell to adapt, nothing. So I'm given, it's a setup that I densify with a certain uniform, which is which represents my race, my species, and my culture, and my status within this culture. They all do that in the Federation. They don't have any common uniform. Everyone wears the uniform of his culture to be easily identified, and also the social status is on it. So I am wearing, when that happened, I've never asked first, but it was like a suit, but it was a very earthly, like with pockets, blue, clear blue with pockets and double brown stripes on the arms and the side of the legs, and kind of earth, really earth-like boots. And it looked really not alien like. And one day, can you tell me what this refers to? And he said, "That's the uniform of the Terran Earth civilians in the Terran Space Force." Mm-hmm. Wow! So that was very important. And then, otherwise, when I'm being physically, they need to change my frequency. So they are giving me either a belt, this frequency belt, or either once I tried the suit, the famous skin tight suit. It's like it's intelligent material. It's like alive. And it was very surprising and an extraordinary experience, because inside of it is like a foam, very thin foam, and that is going to fit your body, and you feel like suddenly it compresses slightly all your body, like and it slightly compresses it. And Thoran said, because it maintains a certain, regulates the blood pressure for the where you are, you need your blood pressure to be different wherever you are with the pressure or gravity, or I don't know exactly. So when that happened, I was in a ship, and it is going to monitor. It's like a computer also, monitor all your organs and maintain you healthy. And if you're wounded, it's going to repair you. That's absolutely. So, so I tried that thing, and I was forbidden to bring it back, although I could have had, but no, you can't. So.
Yeah, I know
this
exactly.
This was a very interesting experience.
Yeah, they put one of those suits on me. It was like electric blue was the color, And they also have kind of
electric blue. Yes.
Yeah, they have them in a gray color too. And you put the suit on, and you felt so much better wearing the suit than. And so it definitely was altering the body and healing the body and raising your frequency, even your body frequency. So it was much more healthy. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, they have that technology. They're just waiting for us to kind of grow up here and stop being so primitive. And then we can, but I mean, we've been suppressed, you know, basically big time, but, I mean, that's a whole subject in itself. But anyway, I want to go back to Dr. Sala. I'm really curious what's happening with the armed forces. I've been seeing snippets of like General Berger saying, you know, you're not in charge, you know, you're not our leader. And I'm wondering, as far as the space fleet and like, how is this working out? Are all of the, like the Air Force, the Army, the Marines, are they all on board with this, aligned with the space fleet, or what's happening in that arena?
Yeah, that's a really important question. That's one of the things that I'm going to be covering in the future in a conference with Corey's Ascension Summit, mm-hmm. Which is Cheyenne Mountain was set up to deal with a temporal war attack. I think we're in the midst of a temporal war, and I think the whole thing surrounding the pandemic is part of a temporal war attack. I mean, initially I thought, like a lot of people, that this was the way for the deep state to get rid of Trump, and you know, and it kind of did do that. But I realize now the way it's being rolled out that this is much more than just getting rid of Trump. This is a temporal, full-blown temporal war where they are trying to destroy freedom on the planet, bring in a kind of totalitarian system. But it's all collapsing. And so that means that right now you have the military, you have like the overt military, which this guy Lloyd Austin is the new Secretary of Defense, and with the Biden administration running kind of like this, you know, like a theater in a way, like we think that they're running the show, but really the people that are running the show is this military group that are performing this continuity of government function, because the United States is under attack. It's this, you know, what we're seeing with the pandemic is just part of this attack, you know, the 2020 selection of the most, you know, the most beautiful president award, that one there. That beauty show was rigged, right? So that beauty contest was rigged. So all of this is part of the temporal war, and it's been the response, the White Hats are running it out of Cheyenne Mountain Complex, which has now been renamed Cheyenne Mountain Space Base. And it's all under the control of Space Command. Space Command is running the operation. Space Force is in charge of training and equipment and all of that, but Space Command is actually running the operation. And Space Command is working with the Galactic Federation. So Space Command is working with the Galactic Federation, setting up these Jupiter meetings to work out what is going to happen once the temporal war is over here on Earth. Once the deep state, the Fourth Reich, the reptilians are all defeated, and then everyone knows that while we're in the war. So because right now people don't know, you know, they're reading New York Times and CNN and thinking, well, this is what's going on the planet. That's just theater. But it's Space Command operating out of Cheyenne Mountain, working with the Galactic Federation, doing these deals on Jupiter where things are really happening right now, but it's all behind the scenes. And so, yeah, the White Hats, the overwhelming support in the military is for Trump and the White Hats. But, you know, you have a vocal few that are still still being controlled by the deep state. And so they're the ones that are trying to help Biden, but, you know, they're not going to succeed.
Yeah, it's funny because you have all these people that are supposed to be the wise ones, you know, the PhDs and everything on the planet, and they're trying to debunk all this, you know, and people keep asking me about that. And I tell them, I said, well, you know, there are people that theorize and their theories are based on recycled ignorance. And then there's people that know, you know, and I want to hang around with the people that know. And the best scientists I know on the planet say science comes to you. It's not something you're going to learn in books and things like that. The real science comes to you. And so we need to get out of that old academic program because it is so full of recycled ignorance. And that program is set up to suppress the people and suppress the real knowledge. And then start opening up to these other free thinkers that have gone beyond, you know, the box or have stepped out of the box or took the red pill or whatever. And then we're really going to find out what's really going on. But I think, you know, I always tell people, if you're listening to mainstream media, even social media, to get your information, you know, good luck with that. But it's internal. You know, we have this multidimensional internal station that we can tune into and get all the information if we spend the time and do it. But you got to shut the external one off for a little while, you know. And I just go there to see what they're doing, you know, to see what they're up to. Yeah, thanks for clarifying that, because that's one of the big questions. Everybody's going, who's on board? How is the chain of command established? And what's happening in the planet. But it feels, I really feel like as we speak right now, big events are unfolding and it's multidimensional. It's more than just what's happening in the physical here on Earth. And I'm going to go back to Elena. If there's any more news you can, or light you can shed on that, as far as what's happening, because there's a massive planetary liberation operation going on. And maybe we can talk a little bit about who's involved with the liberation side and who's involved that's being taken out right now with the side that wants to enslave and control and you know, all the other nonsense that's playing out.
Well, the Galactic Federation has been working since the 1950s, maybe earlier, but I know Thorhan told me since the 1950s, they really boosted it and they really started to work with some government, especially the United States. And these people, you know, they know the future. They knew the two timelines and we've stepped on the progressive timelines now. So they know what it's going to be. So they knew so that they started to really groom the United States to build their own fleet, they share technology with them. And now that things are happening, now that the victory is near, the fleets are ready. We have Solar Warden, we have the Space Force just coming up, you know, nicely. So everything is ready for the right moment in time when the victory is here. And what is happening on Jupiter, I understand that it's the preparation for the after victory. The Federation, the Galactic Federation of Worlds, have been creating the Earth Alliance, which is a cooperation, military cooperation from their forces with Earth forces, called it the White Hats, or, you know, differently. I know it under the name the Earth Alliance. Mm-hmm. So these ones are fighting a lot on Earth, especially in the undergrounds, taking down all the dumps, liberating people, working hard. The Earth Alliance also has had input in the fights to liberate the moon in February 2021. The moon has been cleaned out from extraterrestrial regressives, such as the Greys from Orion, the Nebu, a few reptilians in the way, and the Dark Fleet. Antarctica has been taken by the Earth Alliance. The Dark Fleet has been expelled. So in process, still on Earth, but getting there. The moon is ours. Mars is in the process also of being liberated, but getting there. The reptilians have gone. Now they're just dealing with the Dark Fleet and a few others, but I don't know really the details. but Mars is getting there. Phobos has been liberated, was a facility held by the Greys, Zeta Reticuli, actually. And now they are in the process of getting back Deimos, the other moon, which is a facility held by the Maitra. They are tall Greys from Andromeda Galaxy. Very nasty there.
Very nasty. I've had encounters.
Nasty thing.
It wasn't pretty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These ones. And they don't want to leave it, even if they've been promised to be set free and their life spared. No, there are people in it, hostages. It's a slave facilities, and the Galactic Federation. That's why this war is taking years, because, you know, if the Galactic Federation, if they wanted, they would have sought out this war in 1 hour in our system. But why that didn't happen? Because they didn't want casualties. They didn't want. There are human hostages everywhere in all the ET facilities. It's impossible. It's very difficult to liberate these facilities. Most of them are underground, wherever, you know, Mars, Moon, Earth. So it's difficult because you first need to secure the people and evacuate, and then, you know, deal with the ETs. It's so hard, and that's why it's going on and on and on and on. You know, when people say, oh, they're doing nothing, they could do that, they could. Well, it's not the choice of killing everyone, you know. So that's what's going on, but we are heading towards a victory, because this timeline, destructive timelines, where this dark fleet was ruling, terrorizing the galaxy alongside the Orion, Nebu, and the Sikar. It's gone. It's gone now, you know. The headquarters of the dark fleet, I learned it's in Aldebaran star system. They disowned the dark fleet of here. So because Thorhan said to me, oh, it's in their policy, or in their mentality, said, to cut an infected limb. That's what he said. And it's very visual. That's what I know for the moment. Yeah, I would say, like an overview.
Yeah, I wanted to cover a little bit more into that, and then I'll get back to Dr. Sala. It's really interesting, because the Andromeda system has beings that are mythologically known as archangels that have 8 to 10 foot tall magnetized light bodies and things, but they have other beings there as well. And same in the Orion system, it's a huge system. So there are some benevolent beings that are part of the planetary liberation process, and there are some very nasty ones there as well. And so we can't pigeonhole any one group, you know. And I've seen people say, and like even the ancient Lyrians that came here, some people call the Anunnaki, there's different aspects of that. Some fell, some went on and continued to evolve and reached a very high level. They're like six-dimensional beings. And to sort all this out is getting really tricky right now, as to like who's who. So I'm curious, have you kind of experienced the same thing? There's different systems. They're not all bad, but they're not all good either. There's mixtures in each system.
Well, yes, I agree totally with you, James. Look on Earth.
Yeah.
Who can tell the human species of Earth is bad or is good? It's not working like this. It's not working like this. So, of course, you may have even star systems where you have different inhabited planets, where on each planet you have civilizations, different civilizations who have taken a different path with different agendas. So it's not because you come from Orion and you're super bad, or you come from, you know, where in the Pleiades as well, there are nefarious people, you know. So, yes, people must be very careful not to identify, really be very, not too Manichaean, you know.
It's like that. Yeah, it's like we have to develop our own inner sensitivity and that BS meter, you know, where we can sense a person's character and their intentions. And without that, you know, and we can't judge a book by its cover, you know, because, I mean, you might have some weird little Yoda looking guy, you know, that looks kind of creepy, that might be totally a benevolent master. And you might have some beautiful being that looks awesome that may not be so in your highest and best good, you know. So it's really trickle. It all goes down to like self-awareness and self-authority, and the basic foundations for self-mastery is what it comes to. I'm going to go back to Dr. Sala. Does a lot of what we're talking about, does that correspond with a lot of information that you've been getting as well, as far as what's unfolding in the galaxy lately?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on in terms of us going out into space, that this is now being encouraged. In July, you had those space trips by SpaceX and Blue Origin, where you had like the first trips where tourists were able to fly into the outer edge of space. Now, yeah. What I found very interesting about those trips by Bezos and Branson was that at that same time, the Jupiter meetings were being held. So to me, that was just one other synchronicity point. It was like, okay, so these are two of the guys that were part of that group of corporate CEOs that attended the Jupiter meetings that mm-hmm. Thorhan told us about. So that is, you know, just another synchronicity point. And at the same time, Musk was announcing through SpaceX that SpaceX had won the contract with NASA to send the Clipper mission to Europa. So, you know, right then at the same time, Musk is working with NASA on Jupiter. So what are the chances of all of that happening at the same time? Yeah. And even now, like actually this morning, I put it out on my Twitter feed that Space Force has announced that it is funding innovative corporations to come up with inventions to make space something that is much more accessible to the military, to people in general. So there's quite the kind of things you and Elena were talking about before that the Galactic Federation has, you know, things like these space belts or these suits that can protect you in space or raise your density level, that those are the sort of things that these corporations are now being supported in building. Because, yeah, we can't go out into space the way we are without some kind of it's either going to be, you know, genetic modification, and who wants to do that? Or it's going to be through some protective suits or belts or whatever. So I think this is, you know, all of this is pointing to what Elena has been talking about, that the solar system has been handed over, or is in the process of being handed over in a massive transition where the Dark Fleet, the Reptilians, the Orions, and the Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate are driven out of the solar system, and everything is handed over to the Earth Alliance. And that is really happening.
Awesome. Yeah, it's time. You know, I know a lot of the main thing that a lot of the groups I work with, their whole focus is on planetary liberation. And to me, I feel like I'm more of a galactic person than a citizen of Earth, you might say. But what's interesting, it does make sense that USA or the United States would get the reins, because the foundation of the United States is more aligned with universal law, with the Constitution and our way of governing and things like that, where the power is in the people, the Republic. And although it's been usurped and corrupted, and you know, that's going to go through a big shift, and we're going to go back to the basics and back to more universal law. It seems like we have the template that fits the benevolent beings' way of life or their way of governing, you might say, where they honor free will and they're focused on, you know, to me it's all about universal peace and brother sister love and individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. Is what universal law is all about, and we're probably the closest to that, and with a few adjustments we can get on track and join the rest of the universe. And either one of you, if you want to chime in on that, but it seems like that's where the whole focus has been on planetary liberation. So the power is restored to the people and we can start making our own choices as to where we're going to go and whether or not we want to wish in this, you know, participate in this quantum leap in evolution and consciousness and technology as well.
So yes, and
go ahead. Yeah.
I don't know. No, I just want to add there's also part of this process is also changing this timeline when humanity of Earth was planned to be assimilated. You know, the Nebu, the Orion group, they do that on all the worlds. They conquer, they assimilate the population, and they make of them genetically modified beings that they enslave. So we are about to, in extremis, just avoid that. But that's hard. But that's
what do the people from the Nibiru, what do they look like? Have they shown you images? Have you seen one of them?
Sorry, people from the future.
From the Nibiru, what do they look like?
Nibiru.
Yeah.
Oh, Nibiru, the Anunnaki. Yeah. Yes, for sure. Yes. So they are grays. They look like humans, but they are grays genetics. So they're tall grays, but with human features.
Yeah.
So they are the cold blood. They have the gray, pale gray skin, quite pale. And they have a small skull, well, a bit. I mean, narrow skull, but a bit elongated behind, like a bit of a cone, you know, but different from the other grays. They have dark eyes, either there's some different ones. There are ones, they have the eye totally dark, and other ones, they have like the white is gray and then the black pupil. And in their language, I've been told, Anunnakini means human-like, humanoid-like. That's what I've been shown they look like. And I have to say, well, I was talking to Michael about this in one latest interview, as I remember. I've seen some representation in Egypt of these people brought from Mesopotamia. That was very interesting. So, but other
stories. Yeah, the original cone heads.
The cone heads. Yes.
Yeah. Now there seems to be from ancient Lyra, there is a group that looks similar, but they're more human, and they have they were also coming and going, and they had the elongated head. Their heads were elongated, but they would have blue eyes, and their skin would be not gray, it would be more human colored. And I've met with some of them, and I just felt this goddess energy coming from them, just pure love emanating from them. And they told me, they said that we need to get the story straight, like not all of us are bad and not all of us are good, and there's in between, there's a gray area, literally a gray area in between where there's been intervention. So and you know, again, it goes back to that inner discernment, you know, where you can sense agendas and frequencies that we all have to get back to decide whether or not we're going to engage these beings. But I want to go back to Dr. Sala. So as far as do you have any updates as to where things are, or how are they unfolding, like percentage wise? It seems like most of the reptilians have been removed, and a lot of the Gray Alliance has been removed, and we seem to be moving full steam ahead and reuniting with the rest of the galaxy, you might say.
Yeah, there is a massive movement going on at the moment. You know, on the one hand, there's the battles, and it's very easy to focus on the battles, you know, the moon being liberated or Phobos being liberated. Now apparently Deimos is under the liberation. So it's easy to focus on that, but the big picture is happening behind the scenes, and, you know, that's the Jupiter meetings. That's the setting up of this kind of, like, it really is like a Star Trek future where the Solar Warden space program becomes the kind of de facto space program for the whole planet. It's expanded so that the Russians and the Chinese, the French, the Germans, everyone comes on board behind the Navy's secret space program, Solar Warden. And that does become a Starfleet. Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, is this accident? Is this just kind of like reality mirroring fiction? Well, actually, the fiction was set up to prepare the grounds for this, because now what I'm learning more and more and being convinced of is that the people that set up or created, you know, Star Trek at the very beginning, Gene Roddenberry and the crowd around him, some of those people were actually part of the secret space program or part of the Galactic Federation from the future. So you can imagine, some of those were taken to the future and were part of the 20 and back program. So you can imagine people in the 1940s and 1950s being taken out. They get to serve for 20 years in the Solar Warden program, say from 2030 to 2050, right? And then they get put back in time. And it's like, well, how can... I mean, that explains why people like Roddenberry and Gene Larson with Battlestar Galactica, all these people were able to come up with their sci-fi shows showing this very positive future. It's because they were actually getting information from people that were part of the 20 and back program from the future. So the whole Star Trek franchise, especially like Star Trek Enterprise and the more recent one, Star Trek Discovery, they talk about temporal wars, because that's what we're under right now. It was all a temporal war. It was all, like Elena said, like to remove this galactic tyranny that was being established by the Nazis, by the reptilians. And so because the reptilians were doing this, this allowed the Galactic Federation to also intervene and protect our timeline. So that's what I think is happening. And a lot of these ET encounters that people are having with our future selves. Part of us is in the future serving with the Galactic Federation, and it's helping us now.
Yeah, great. Yeah, there's some things I was trying to explain to people, and I said, can you imagine a ship coming in and then morphing or jumping time and coming back and reappearing and then doing it again and again? So you have four ships with the same people on them all sitting right next to each other. So what do you think the people on the ships feel about looking over at the other ship and seeing themselves on the other ship? How are they going to accept that? How are they going to process that? And could we handle that? You know, could we handle that? And only if you're not so tied into your identity, you know, as a body and a personality, could you actually understand and handle that? And then it goes further into, as you're talking about the temporal wars and things like that, they have the technology to take you basically out of your bed or out of your body. You could be walking across a field. They'll take you up, teach you for 2 weeks, and then bring you back. And it was like a half step. The next step is a little fuzzy or a little wobbly, and you go, what just happened? And you don't even know what happened. But you were totally set up. You were taught all this stuff about what's happening, your mission, what you're here to do. Now, your physical body and your emotional or mental body might not be aware of that, but on a soul level, you're fully aware of it, and it's bleeding through. But and the more you meditate, the more you realize you're a multidimensional being existing on a vibrational continuum, and you can expand in awareness, the more you're aware of what's really happening, the bigger picture. And I'd like to get maybe Elena's take on that, because that does seem, I know you've had a lot of similar experiences where it really will make you go crazy if you just don't let go. You know, that as far as where am I, what time am I, who am I, everything, it's going to really mess with your identity and your sense of time and space and everything if you don't just totally surrender and realize there's a bigger picture going on.
That's totally it, James. Letting go is what I have just decided to do, because sometimes things happen to me and I don't understand the technology. I'm shown the technology and I'm explained, but it Sometimes it's disturbing because my earth monkey brain can't process it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I go like, okay, I believe you. It's working. That's what matters to me. It's working. It's fine. He explained many times to me, I speak about Thoran, for instance, how to pilot a ship. He explained to me, I tried it twice. The first time was a disaster. But he's explaining to me, and I go, all right, yeah, believe you. All right. But it's sometimes it involves, you know, when it involves multidimensional elements, and or consciousness, or even time. It's you need to make an effort because I was born on Earth. I've been conditioned to think a certain way, and suddenly, when different elements are involved, such as Thorhan comes from the future. He comes from 300 years in the future, but And sometimes he goes to his planet for a break in the Pleiades, and it's the same time for him, but he can communicate with me, who, and I'm in the past, and he's in the future. It's a present for him. But in the same time, we're talking to each other. I stopped. I just let it go because that's going to make me crazy. So, but this technology, you know, it's thinking differently. It's not thinking with the reasoning mind. It's thinking differently, not in a linear way, but thinking in a wholeness way. You know, that's difficult, but we are able to. And it's just, I think, training, thinking like that. So,
where we're programmed, you know, they go, well, you can't go faster than the speed of light. And they have all these reasons why these things can happen. I go, well, consciousness is instantaneous and it jumps dimensions. It can go anywhere at once. And if you rise up into that frequency of consciousness, you're a galactic being, basically. But we have that ability. You know, you can have a third dimensional body walking down here and you could be pulling from seventh dimensional consciousness. And people have a hard time understanding that. You know, you could go back and forth. And you don't need Planck energy to take a physical body to the next dimension that they say is impossible. You know, you can just go out of body and they'll take you in one of your other bodies and have a meeting with you and tell you what's going on. And then that'll bleed through later on when you need it. But all these meetings and connections and encounters are happening multidimensionally. And until you understand you're a multidimensional being existing on this vibrational continuum, you won't understand it, you know? So I try to explain this to people that just think they're a body and a personality. And I said, until you accept the fact that you're so much more than a body and a personality, you'll never understand this, you know, until you surrender your ego and your identity and all this other stuff, you'll never understand what's really manifesting here.
Yes, and they don't see time same as us. And time is, because Thorhan is in the present, is here at the moment, is somewhere above in orbit now, in this time, but he has traveled from the future. So when he goes back to his world, he retravels in the future. It's like and I know the time is not just time. It's linked with physical physics of this, the space fabric. For instance, I know gravity is linked with this. I don't know how, but it said gravity has an effect on the fabric of space-time, and they play with that as well. I don't know. I don't understand. Just say that.
Yeah.
Things like this, you know, what I suppose I will learn with time.
Yeah, we just had a ship come over for 2.5 hours over the ranch. It's amazing. And we'll post those on the site. And hopefully we can pop them up in this interview, insert them. But it was amazing because this ship looked like a pyramid. And then it morphed into like a square. And then it looked like a pill-shaped ship. And then it turned into a giant cross, a light cross in the sky. And it was hovering right above the house here for like 2.5 hours. And we had like 30 people or so watching it. We had 5 or 6 cameras on it. We had locals come run to the house and go, "Hey, James," you know, freaking out. And it was a pretty amazing event. And I'd like to get your take. I'm pretty sure that I'm pretty sure I know who they are, but maybe Thorhan can comment on that. But we're hitting the end of the hour. Unfortunately, I can't thank you enough. The information that you both shared is just amazing, and it all ties together. And what is the best way for people to get in contact with you to find out, you know, what your latest workshops are or your books or anything else? We'll go with Elena first.
Thank you, James. So people can follow all my activities on my YouTube channel, Elena Danan. Everything is concentrated there. Otherwise, I have a website where you can see some services and find my books. It's my name, elenadanan.org, O-R-G. And find everything. My book is on Amazon directly otherwise. And there's a new book coming about the Galactic Federation and Valthor. So brace yourselves for September.
Yeah, big events happening. Michael, what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Yeah, they can just go to my website. My main website is exopolitics.org. And I've got a new webinar coming up that's going to be on September 13, and it's going to be on our Star Trek future. So I'm going to be kind of like going deep into the whole future that has been planned going back into the 50s and 60s by the Navy Solar Warden program, and how what we're experiencing right now is this unfolding event. So, yeah, just go to exopolitics.org and you can find information about that and the books.
Awesome. You know, I can't thank you enough. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We could do a 10-hour show on this, but we don't have that much time. But anyway, we've got to sign off, folks. It's James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio and East City Stargate. Have a great evening. Keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent, and stay tuned. We'll keep bringing this information out as it unfolds. Good night. Oh.